If you have a Bible today, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4. The scriptures are so powerful. It's the Word of God, and the Bible says these things in the Old Testament were written for our learning and for our admonition, to instruct us and to warn us. And this is the book of Deuteronomy. They're not in the promised land. These are statements that God is using Moses to speak to his people. So applicable today. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. We'll begin there. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? What a blessing it is. Our country was founded on the scriptures. Amen. Founded on Bible principle. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. If you'll go over to chapter 6, same book, chapter 6, we'll read a few verses here. All of these verses go together. There's a number of verses that teach this principle. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verse 11. And houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. One day, when they went into the promised land, all of that would come to pass. And Moses and God were warning the people, when all this happens and you're blessed so abundantly, don't forget what God did for you. He brought you out of Egyptian bondage. We go to chapter 8 and just a few verses here. Chapter 8, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God has been good to us. Amen. And it doesn't take much thought to count all of those blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Praise the Lord. Well, let's bow and ask God to meet with us today. Father, we do so appreciate the blessings of our life, the freedoms that we're enjoying right now. And Lord, may we never forget the day that you salvaged us, saved us. And Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified today. I pray also today that we would remember those that died so we could have this freedom, so that we could have a free nation, so that we could have Bibles and read them and preach them. And Lord, may our hearts be filled with gratitude today for your honor and for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgotten memories. There's a lot of things that we forget and we're prone to forget. There was a poem entitled Lest We Forget, written by a man named Cole. This was after World War I, but two of his sons died in that war. and his sons were Reginald and Norman. And this is the last verse of his poem. He said, "Shall we ever forget our glorious dead who freely gave all that they could give? No, in marble and granite, still more in our hearts, we will praise them as long as we live." And you think about the sacrifice that so many people made that we have no idea who they were. We don't know their names. We don't know their life stories. We don't know what they left behind. We don't know their suffering. But we're on this side of it, and we know the freedom. Amen? And we enjoy that freedom. We enjoy that liberty. As a Christian, I remember the day I accepted Christ as my Savior. And He's blessed my life. He's saved my soul, and He's promised me a home in heaven. And I dare not forget that. Amen? Because it was quite a price that He paid for my soul. So as Christians, we have a lot of precious memories, and there's a song entitled Precious Memories. But we are to remember them. We are not to forget them. One of the verses in that song says, "As I travel on life's pathway, know not what the years may hold. As I ponder, hope grows fonder. Precious memories flood my soul as I ponder it. While I was musing, the fire burned." When we think about good things, it can encourage us. Amen? When we think about bad things, it discourages us. Some people have a bad memory. By that, I mean all they think of is bad things. Amen? Little joke there, play on words. There is a thing called catastrophic thinking, though, where here's a problem, and catastrophic thinking makes the problem 100 times worse than it is and always goes off the cliff, you know. But we are to think of good things. There's so much in the Bible about that. That song goes on, "Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul in the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold." If you can't sleep, think the scriptures. If you can't sleep, think of some blessings that God has done for you. Amen. It really can help your mood. Positive thinkers, negative thinkers, I don't know what you are, positive thinker, negative thinker. Positive rememberers, negative rememberers. What'd somebody say? They said, "Don't put offenses in cement and blessings in sand. Put blessings in cement and offenses in sand." Do you understand the principle there? And so we can think on those things. That can be good. How could you forget all the good things somebody does for you? I mean, people have been kind to you. Sometimes if you're removed from them, you don't even think about it. Sometimes you're involved in so many other things and you just forget, you know. But we dare not forget what the Lord's done or all of these soldiers in giving us our freedom. In Psalm 103 and verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." They are a plural. There's a lot of benefits. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Sometimes we don't think about them. Amen? I can see today. That's a blessing. Amen? You can hear. That's a blessing. I'm only going to preach 2 hours. That's a blessing. Amen. There's all kinds of blessings today. You're going to be with family or friends or whatever you're going to do today, and God has blessed you. And again, you're in a free country. You're able to do that. It's so good to remember those things. How could we forget? 1 Corinthians 15:2. "Keep in memory what I preached unto you." When you leave church, how much of the sermon do you remember? How about this one? "Amen, let's close in prayer." A lot of people remember that one. But it's good as the word is being preached and something is applied to your life to think on that, to meditate on it, to hide it in your heart, because that will go with you. And we're not to forget all of those things. "Keep in memory what I preached unto you." In James 1:22, and this is God speaking, so we know it works. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Verse 25. "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so if we remember, and we do, we're blessed. And God has that equation for us. In Psalm 145 and verse 7, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness." This is speaking about God. We utter the memory of his great goodness. And the verse goes on and says, "And shall sing of thy righteousness." The next verse says, gracious, full of compassion, great mercy, slow to anger. Those are all attributes of God. And they're put in our hymn book. Over and over, we sing a hymn from our hymn book that has those attributes of God in it. And it's a way of praising the Lord and bringing back to memory how good He's been to us. I love you, Lord, and I lift up my voice to worship you. My soul rejoices. We sang that today. And I hope we just didn't sing it. I hope we sang it from the heart. Amen? Because God is certainly worthy of that. The memory of God's word to us is endless. We can read the Bible and see God speak to us over and over and over and over. We count our blessings. The memory of God's blessings, again, they produce a song. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. That's a verse in a song. And so I hope you're singing a song today. Amen. I hope you're happy today in the Lord and for your freedom. Praise the Lord for that. That's a good thing to do. In Proverbs 10 and verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed. It makes you thankful. So when you remember these things. Memorial Day is tomorrow. Someone died for your freedom. And when we remember that, we are thankful. When we muse on it, when we contemplate it, here we are, we're free today. You could leave the service right now. Amen? If you wanted to. The doors are locked, but you could try to get out. We got you captive in here. I could leave right now, but boy, that wouldn't be a good thing either. That'd be a bad thing. But I mean, we have such liberty to do whatever because somebody died for us. And if we remember what they did, it makes us thankful. Today is the Lord's Day. Amen? Sometimes we take it for granted. This is the Lord's Day. This is the day of His resurrection. But He died and He rose again that we might be made free of sin. He gave us liberty. You shall know the Son, and the Son shall make you free indeed. So those are scriptures that we call to memory. 1 Corinthians 11:24. This is about the Lord's Supper. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." It'll get better. This is going to get really good. Amen? Just keep praying about it, and it will. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter said, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in this body, able to do it, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." That's how you stir yourself up. Somebody can stir you up by drawing your memory, your thoughts back to an event. People do that in politics, they do it. In the movies, they do it. Whatever they speak about. In songs, they do it. It's just what people do. Because if you remember, you can be thankful and you can be encouraged. And it says, stir you up. Verse 12 says, though you know them. I'm going to stir you up with these memories, though you know them. Because some people forget. Amen? We are prone to forget. 2 Peter 3:1, the second epistle, "Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And he's talking about being mindful of the Word of God. "We have obtained a like precious faith. We are partakers of the divine nature." This is in the book of 2 Peter. "Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, and you'll be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You ever start thinking about something and it depresses you? You ever start thinking about something and it makes you happy? As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so God wants to bring our minds to the remembrance of these things. And Peter's saying, I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of the goodness of God, because that'll give you a good day. Amen? How about his long suffering? How about his mercy? How about his grace? How about his comfort? Boy, those are wonderful things. And when you get the verses from the scripture that talk about those things and apply them to your mind and your heart, there's hope. But hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So I'm stopping to think about them. I'm looking more, this is really bad. You need to see God in it, because God will give you the grace to go through absolutely anything. I want to stir you up today by some stories, some remembrances. We sang four choruses. The idea of that is to think about it while you're singing it. That's the idea of it. Amen? Sometimes you don't do that. Sometimes your mind goes somewhere else. Memorial Day, let us remember the great, great sacrifice. To remember is to preserve the memory of. There's a scripture that talks about the heathen, and it says, and God was not in all his thoughts. And when you think about God, you can only be encouraged. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. And there are men that laid down their life for love of country, love of family, love of freedom, hatred of evil. They did not want evil to succeed. And those people, those that suffered for us, we are free today. I know people that have gone to the service and passed away. By the way, my nephew, his name is Paul Delmark also. The world has two Paul Delmarks. Isn't that, amen? Only two amens. Anyway, he graduated. We went to his graduation service. And out of the whole class, my nephew, Paul Delmark, joined the Marines. And he was wearing something that said the Marines on it, out of the whole class. And I'm just so proud of him. He did it for love of country. He did it for love of freedom. Amen? And I just really appreciated that. It was a wonderful thing to experience. But that's a blessing. We take that freedom sometimes for granted. But when you watch something on TV or you hear something on the news and you see the suffering that is caused and the death that comes about because somebody is trying to protect your freedom, it really makes the picture more important, doesn't it? And now we kind of transfer that, and we appreciate that. Tomorrow that's what we celebrate, but this is the Lord's Day, so we celebrate the Lord's Day. But there are Christian soldiers too. Onward Christian Soldiers, one of the hymns. We're fellow soldiers. We're to put on the whole armor of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we cast down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. So it's all about our battleground is the mind. Amen. God's given us a book. He's given us his word. He speaks to encourage us. By the words of thy mouth, thou hast kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. And all the verses that are endless. God gave us his word. And if we remember his word and hide it in our heart, it can encourage us. It can give us strength for the battle. But the battle is always going on. The weapons of our warfare. Fight the good fight of faith. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There is so many songs, hymns, written about this. One that I'd like to just read and focus on this morning. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me unto God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. If you read biographies or even somebody's story about somebody that died for the faith, a missionary that sacrificed his life so the people could be saved, I think of the people that were involved in my salvation. I'm so thankful for that. You need to think of the people that brought you the gospel. Amen? Because that is a blessing. But there's a real battle going on for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And so we fight that all the time. The rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, and all of this battle that's going on. It would be so wonderful if our Christian nation would get back to Christ as a nation. Amen? And that everybody thought that same way. That would be a blessing, but that would be heaven, wouldn't it? One day that will take place. Memorial. Memorial is that which preserves the memory of something, anything that serves to keep in memory. A monument is a memorial of a deceased person or of an event. The Lord's Supper is a memorial of the death and sufferings of Christ. A memorial can be a written representation of facts. You have it written down, and it's a memorial. A Bible is a memorial. Amen? It's full of facts. I have in my office the preachers that were involved in coming down to my salvation. It goes all the way back to the 1800s. I did some study on it. And there was a fellow by the name of George Warner. He was a newspaper guy, and he got saved. And during his preaching, Gypsy Smith got saved. And he became a preacher. And then after him, there's another man. And then after him, there's another man. And then after him, there's another man that heard him and got saved and got called to preach. And then there was my preacher that got saved and called to preach. And then I got saved. And I have that on my wall, and I read it anytime I go into the office, because it makes me so appreciate their sacrifice, that all that came down to me, and God has had his hand and the blessing waiting, just waiting for me to receive him. Amen. That's a blessing. I don't know if you could ever do that history about the man that, or the woman or the child that influenced your salvation, and find out when they got saved and who led them, and just keep going back. Amen. And there was World War I, and there was World War II, and there's been all kinds of wars where the United States has been involved. And people have died, and we're enjoying that freedom. Deuteronomy. Let me just say this. Our text in Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take heed to thyself, to keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of their life," because it's so easy to lose that. And then it says, "Teach them to your sons and to your sons' sons." Amen? David said, "My cup runneth over." That's a good thing to have. That's a wonderful thing to have, because it's flooding, something's flooding your soul. There's a blessing there, and it's just overflowing the cup. And somebody that sees your life says, "Why are you so happy? Why do you serve God? Why do you go to church?" There's an answer for all of that. Amen? It's because the Lord has done something for us. Let's look at some memorials found in the Scripture, and I won't really be lengthy, but I want to look at four memorials in the Scripture. One we think of quite often is Exodus chapter 12. The nation of Israel was in Egyptian bondage, and it was a terrible place to be. It was very, very hard and tedious for them to be there. And God says, "I'm going to send a man, and he's going to be your deliverer, and then you're going to get out of bondage, and I'll take you into the promised land." And so there were 10 plagues. Remember Exodus chapter 5? Moses comes before Pharaoh and says, "God said, let his people go." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And so now comes the plagues. And you had this plague and that plague. You had 9 plagues. And we finally come to the last plague. It's the death of the firstborn. That's in chapter 12. And God said, "I want all Israel, stay in your homes, take a lamb," that signifies the Lamb of God, "but take a physical lamb, and I want you to shed its blood and put it on the top of the door and on the 2 side posts of the door. And when the death angel comes by, when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And that's a song we sing in memory of that occasion. And so they're back in there, they're in their homes, and the blood is there, and by the way, it makes a cross. And their lives were spared because of that. And they wanted to keep that in memory. And so they did. It's called the Passover. In the spring, for 8 days every year, the Jews celebrate the Passover. And I think this year it was in April. But in Exodus 12:13, it says, "And the blood shall be for you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." It was the Passover feast. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." As the blood of that lamb was typifying Christ in the Old Testament, it was the blood of the lamb. we come to the New Testament and find the fulfillment of that prophecy or that truth. And it's Christ who shed his blood, went to the cross and shed his blood. And now we are free and we are no longer under bondage. Pharaoh was a type of the devil, and we're not under that anymore. Praise God for that. We also have Christmas. Amen? Some people get wiped out at Christmas because it's all about the activity and the food and the presents and, you know, should I get them a present? Well, what'd they get you last year? Well, they didn't get me nothing, so I ain't getting them nothing. Oh, they gave you 20. Okay, send them a $20 gift card. My brother and I have a younger brother, I'll just say that. And there was a 3 years in a row that we sent each other a gift card for Olive Garden for $25. And then we laughed about it and we said, you know what, let's just stop this. This, because I'm buying a gift card for myself, basically, you know. And you know, all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, Christmas. What's Christmas about? The birth of Christ. Birth of Christ. It's about church songs. Hark the herald angels sing. Joy to the world. Amen? All of those, God rest ye merry gentlemen. All of those songs that remind us of what God did for us. And yet we can get so sidetracked that we lose the memorial. We lose the thought. Easter. Amen? Easter, praise God, Easter's always on Sunday. Amen? When Christmas falls in a certain place, people come to church. But if it's in the way of some other stuff, they don't come. You would think the churches would be full at Christmas time. Amen? People would be singing because that's the song in their heart. But Easter's the same way. I think people ought to at least come Easter and Christmas. Amen? No, I think more than that. But these are memorials, and when we get together, we celebrate them. And Exodus chapter 17, in verse 14, the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. They defeated the Amalekites. They fought a battle, and they won. Remember, Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands, and then Joshua fought the battle, but they defeated the Amalekites. And God said, let's make a memorial about this. When you've had a victory over the devil, make a memorial about it. Don't forget what God did for you. By the words of his mouth, he's kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Praise the Lord. And you go back in time and you think about that, where you were right there and the devil almost had you and God gave you a victory. I think that's good to remember. It's a good thing to hang on to. D-Day. It's a memorial, right? People think about it because of so many souls that were killed. I think I wrote this down. It was June 6, 1944. There were 155,000 troops, I think, got killed that day. Not all Americans. That was Allied forces. And then in the Battle of Normandy after that, there were 73,000 Allied troops that died. That's a lot of soldiers giving their lives, but it turned the course of everything. Amen. And we are free today because of that. Joshua chapter 4. This is another one. Joshua is now leading the children of Israel. They're coming up to the Jordan River. Remember the Red Sea? And Moses parted the Red Sea, and it was a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other side. Man, that's a tough miracle. Amen. The Red Sea. But here's Joshua, and they're going to cross the Jordan River and go into the Promised Land. And so they take the Ark of God that represented his presence and the priests, and they put their feet in the water, and it was overflowing. The Jordan River was overflowing. And they put their feet in the water, and the river stopped here and dried up here. Now that's a pretty big miracle too, because all this force from the water right here. And they went across. And the Bible says this in Joshua chapters 4 and verse 7. Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Matthew Henry says this. The works of the Lord are so worthy of remembrance, and the heart of man is so prone to forget them. Aren't we prone to forget? That various methods are needful to refresh our memories. For the glory of God, for our advantage, and that of our children, God gave orders for preparing this memorial. And so he does that. He does that. Maybe you have a sign in your kitchen, you know, bless this house or something like that, or maybe a scripture verse. Those are good things to have around. It's a good thing to start your day with opening the scriptures or quoting the Bible as you work or singing a song. Amen? And again, watch out the country westerns, because you'll lose the truck and the dog will run away. Amen? But I mean, sing some happy song about the Lord and may it minister to you. The last one I want to bring out is the one in John chapter 12, and it's Mark chapter 4. So let's turn to John chapter 12. We haven't read a lot of scripture today. John chapter 12, and then we'll get Mark 14. John chapter 12. Let's begin reading in verse 1. You like Bible stories? I like Bible stories. They're written for our learning and admonition. The parables are stories that tell a heavenly truth. And Jesus was always telling those because you can remember the story. Sometimes you don't remember anything, but you remember the story. This is verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, that they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It really made a difference. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He held what was in the bag. I was quoting that. What verse am I on? Verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying, has she kept this. For the poor ye have with you always, but me ye have not always. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Same story, just a little bit more informative. Verse 1, Mark chapter 14. We'll look at verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come, here it is, aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She believed he was going to die and resurrect. She come aforehand. She believed something that the disciples couldn't figure out. And it says, and verse 9, and I verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. For a memorial of her. Boy, what a tremendous thing. Here is a woman that loved him, that believed him, that wanted to please him, and she broke this alabaster box. There's kind of like three groups there. There's the disciples, there's Judas Iscariot, and there's Mary. And Judas, he was a thief. He held what was in the bag. He was a treasurer. Sue and Scott, they're very upright. That's not in our church. Amen. But the treasurer had a problem with money. And by the way, the next verse in that chapter that we just read, he goes and he sells out Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Anyway, they wanted the money. And the disciples were murmuring. But Mary did the good thing. And he said, wherever the gospel is preached, this also which she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Here we are. I got just a few things to say. Our life is like a tale that is told. People look at our life, they're influenced by our lives, or maybe even hurt by our lives. But he had this testimony that he praised God. That was Enoch. Paul, I have fought a good fight. Barnabas, he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost, and much people were added to the church. Moses chose rather to suffer with the people of God than enjoy the treasures of Egypt for a season. And our name is there too. And are we a memorial for somebody about the grace of God, what God could do in somebody's life? They look at us, we love the Lord, we're serving the Lord, we're trying to point people to Jesus Christ. Amen. And by doing that, you not only save a physical life, but you save a spiritual life. 70, if by reason of strength there's 80, which is 80 years old, and some of us, some of you, have passed 80, almost put me in that category. That's coming fast enough. But, our days are numbered. Amen? And one day this old body's going to wear out, and we're going to die, and we either go to heaven or we go to hell. If we've accepted Christ, we have a home in heaven. What a blessing. And so we're dealing with not just physical life, we're dealing with eternal life. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, we always invite you to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to forgive your sins, give you a home in heaven. That's the message of the hour. Amen? And there's a battle that goes on to be able to give that message. Have you ever tried to witness to your loved ones? Sometimes the devil really fights that. Amen? Your neighbors, your fellow workers. But that's where the battle is. And if the devil can discourage us and destroy us, then we cannot help somebody else. I think that's an important thing to see. God wants to help us because he's on our side. And through God, we can conquer. Through God, we're more than conquerors. So there's a battle going on today. Maybe you were never in the service. I joined the Navy and then I wrecked a motorcycle. And boy, do I love riding motorcycles. My wife really doesn't like me riding motorcycles. But anyway, I didn't get to go serve my country. But I can serve the Lord. Amen. I hope the service encouraged you. But remember what this next day is all about. But remember what this day is about too. Because it ought to be remembered. Somebody paid the ultimate price. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you've never received Jesus, please, please, please trust him today. Just a simple prayer. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Thank you for dying for my sins. Please forgive me. Give me a home in heaven. It's that simple. Trust him. Trust him. Maybe think of a time that God come and delivered you or helped you, or the day he saved you, and just be thankful for it today.